Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started. All right, this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 109. At least I think that's episode 109. Week of October 8, 2010, and I'm doing a real rush job on a 4-miler today because I got to be somewhere, and I'm not even sure if I'm going to be able to get my mileage in. I'm just doing 4, and we're going to see if I can get this thing. Trying to get my Garmin reset. Going out with my running buddy Blue today, and gorgeous weather, so I'm going to get started. All right, I'm out. Like I said, I'm doing a rush job on a 4-miler. We'll see how it goes. Just got a couple things I got to do. I got a camping trip coming up, and tonight's the only night I can go pick up some supplies. So I got to do that. But I got to get some miles in. I got to exercise. I've been stressed a little bit this week. I'm running on a section of trail called Stony Run. It runs across along a creek. It's I think the Stony Creek, and I'm gonna see if there's any. There's actually water in it now. Last time I ran down here, there was no water because we had been so long without rain. Last week we had a couple days of rain. It was a tropical system that came through the East Coast. And we got a whole bunch of rain, but apparently we're still in a rain deficit, if you can believe that. And I got my dog Blue with me, and in this show I'm going to talk about a few things. One of my dogs died. I'll talk about that. I'll talk about the Pumpkin Run 5K, which I did last week, which was a lot of fun. Hopefully there's not too much wind noise during the show. I thought I was running in the woods, but apparently I'm running in a wind field. And the funny thing about it is I'm actually running on a trail back behind where my daughter's playing today with a little girl. She rode her school bus home with a friend. So I'm actually running back, and I'll be running back and forth on this section of trail, actually behind that house. So I might actually hear a plane in the background, maybe not. So I got my dog off the leash. This is one of the few areas of town where you can do that. I mean, I'll put him on the leash if somebody comes down here. But it's just nice to see him go. He's almost 2. He'll be 2 on Halloween. He's a Halloween dog. He's still got a lot of puppy in him. He's been a lot of fun to have around. And now he's the only one. The only dog in the house. My oldest dog, the one I had the longest, her name was Basil, B-A-S-I-L. Come on, Blue. Come back. She was 14 and a half, and she died last Friday, the 1st. Had to put her down. We've been talking about that for several months. That dog was so old, and she couldn't get up the stairs on her own anymore. Couldn't get down the stairs on her own. It had to have just been so painful for her to crouch and do her business outside. Sometimes she didn't even crouch. And, she was kind of losing her dignity a little bit, so we had to make a decision. So I handled that. Now, if you've listened to the show before, you know that I like dogs. I like dogs in general. I love my dogs. I don't love all dogs. Meaning, I'm not the kind of person that stops if I see a dog that's, a stray or something. Because I just don't have time to do that.
My wife would do something like that, but I don't, and I just try not to think about it. I've kind of always said that I love my dogs. I'd do anything I could for my dogs, but there's just too many other dogs out there. I know that's kind of a weird point of view. It might be a little selfish, but nevertheless, that's how I feel. So, you know, whereas a lot of people would, you know, take their dog to the vet and first thing in the morning, put the dog down and feel awful all day, I decided to work all day, and then so we could all say goodbye to Basil before I took her to the vet. So my wife and my daughter were home. We all had a few minutes with her, and I took her to the vet. And on the advice of a real good friend of mine, whose name is Lummox, he lives up in Annapolis, he told me, well, he's had some experience with having to put dogs down because he's had Springer Spaniels over the years. And he and I are actually fraternity brothers from college, so we're pretty good friends. He said you ought to take her through the drive-thru and get her a hamburger from McDonald's. So that's what I did. Went through the drive-thru on the way to the vet. Got my dog a hamburger. We went to the vet and I got her out of the car. And she did her, well, she didn't really do her thing in the, you know, the little yard there by the vet. I gave her a hamburger and we went inside. All right, Blue, let's go back. Come on. That was a hard thing to do. I had all these scenarios envisioned on what it would be like, and it was kind of something totally different. It took longer than I thought, and I have to tell you a little bit about Basil before I get into the running part of the show, which actually involves talking about her a little bit. That dog always slept with one eye open, and my wife and I were convinced that she really never slept because she was always alert, always the alpha dog. Matter of fact, when we first brought her home back in 96, we got her in September of 96, and she was born in April of 96, I didn't know how to handle a dog because I never had one growing up. My wife did. Of course, when we picked Basil out, her first name was Cinderella. We changed that. She chased me around the yard when we first got her. Okay, here, Blue. You have fun? Until we got to obedience school the week after, and I started learning how to handle a dog. And ever since that time, I was her alpha, and she actually kind of became my dog. I mean, she was very loyal. Not the most affectionate dog ever, really. And in some ways, we always kind of missed a little bit in the affection department with her. And I guess that's why we got a second dog in a way, who was Otis, who I've talked about before. He died 4 years ago at age 10. Just not the most affectionate dog. Would you pet her, she'd always shake you out, want to shake you off. But she was obedient. She followed the rules. And that's really all you can ask for. And she was a great running partner. Back when we first got her, in I guess the mid-90s, and then as she got old in the late 90s, we did a lot of running at Bryant Park, which is a city park in Richmond, Virginia. And at Bryant Park, they have these huge azalea gardens, and the roads are closed off to traffic, and they open them up once a year for a weekend for people to drive through and see all the azaleas when they're blooming. Well, we could park and let Basil run in there off leash, and she would run like 50 yards off our bow, meaning, all right, let's go, meaning always ran with us, but she'd always run in the woods parallel to us. And one time my wife took her there in the morning before work, and she lost her in the park. So she goes back to her car after looking for her for a half hour or whatever, calling for her. And would you believe Basil was sitting right next to the car? So, very loyal dog. Never had any, well, she used to nip a lot at Monica, my wife, and she get a healthy dose of bitter apple sprayed in her mouth, and that eventually subsided. But we're sad that she's gone, but she wasn't really her real self for the last year and a half or so, and we gotten to a point where we were reluctant to even board her because we were afraid something would happen while we were gone and we wouldn't be able to be with her when she died. Because that's what happened to Otis. We were in Mexico when Otis had a major medical problem that, well, I'm not going to rehash that whole podcast. It's called Losing a Running Buddy. And it's way back. It's one of the early shows. I knew Otis had a health problem. We were just trying to get this damn trip to Mexico out of the way. We went down there for a wedding. Just trying to get it out of the way so we could deal with the health problem. But unfortunately, he had a medical issue at the kennel. And they had to take him to the emergency vet. And all emotional things aside, that cost several hundred dollars. I mean, more than three. Get out of there! Come on. You're not going swimming today. Come on. Anyway, so Basil's gone, and he was a good running buddy. And I missed her a lot. Did lots of miles with her. And she ran a lot here in the town, too. And then she'd slow down, and, you know, after we got Blue, it was kind of hard to walk the two of them. So now we got Blue, and he's by himself, and he's a great running buddy. So, Basil, we'll miss you. Oh, you want me to throw a stick for you? Is that what's going on? This way. So Blue's turned into my new running buddy now, and I try to run with him as much as I can. He's full of energy at all times. All right, so that's Bays. So call her the Bays. Called her Big B. When I first got her, I used to call her Little One. Called her Mrs. B. Basil. God, we have so many nicknames for that dog. Little Shit used to be a nickname. Hey! We used to call her Little Shit sometimes. But we loved her. And if you've ever had a dog that you've had to put down in a humane way, it's just better to have the good memories. I mean, I taught this dog how to jump up in the air and catch a frisbee on the run. I mean, she was very agile in her younger years. And she would do anything you taught her. And she wanted to learn. I even taught her to retrieve the newspaper from the end of the driveway when we lived out in the country, because we had a long driveway. And the newspaper was always in a yellow bag. And I think that kind of helped, because I would, in between each day, like we sometimes in the afternoon, I'd come home from work, I'd put something she liked in the yellow bag. And she'd, you know, I'd throw it, she'd go get it. So eventually she learned. I'd walk her a little bit down the driveway. I said, go get it. And she'd see it at the end of the driveway, and she'd think that was her toy. So she'd run and get it and bring it back. And eventually, I could just open the front door and tell her, go get it. And, oh, not you, Blue, sorry. And she would go get it. And I'll admit, she didn't always bring it all the way back, but she did pretty good. She knew not to run. She knew not to pick up the newspaper and run in the street with it. So that's Bays. And if I can remember how to do it, I'll put a photo up on the website at ashlanddave.podbean.com. I'll put a photo of her up there just so you can see what she looks like. She's a black lab with a white snout, brown eyes. We had two black labs at a time, Otis, who died, and Basil. And we used to call Otis was soft and chewy, and Basil was hard and crunchy. And she lived life pretty hard. She'll be missed. All right, let's talk about the pumpkin run a little bit. The pumpkin run was held on October 2nd at the Ashlandberry Farm 5K. And attendance was down a little bit this year because there was a 10-mile race in the city, in Richmond City, called the Capital 10-Miler. And that was some kind of 10-mile championship race or something. All right, come on. And what that means, it was, you know, a lot of people who are in the marathon training program are going to go to that. So the figures were down a little bit for attendance, but I had a pretty good time. Came in third of my age group, which they combined to a 40 to 49, which is kind of interesting. I came in third, I ran 27:03, which is pretty fast for me in a 5K because I don't normally run 9-minute miles. Tom Grant came in first in the 40 to 49 with a pretty incredible 23 or 24 minutes, maybe less than that. And the funny thing about it, the whole race was good. It's put on by Hanover Safe Place, which is a local organization that partners with law enforcement to provide services to sexual abuse victims, domestic violence victims. And they do a lot of stuff that has nothing to do with police, but that's how I know about them. And great organization. So I get out there, pass quite a few people. Well, my daughter did a kids run. But here's the weird thing, or the fun walk, it was a mile. They didn't want the kids wearing their bibs so they wouldn't get confused with the 5K. And I'm not going to criticize that, because I don't want to criticize the people that organized this race, because we all had a good time. But I do know that kids, when they get a bib, they want to put it on, and they want to feel like they're participating instead of folding it up and putting it in their pocket. And the reason for that is, the reason they got a bib in the first place is because you get a free pumpkin for participating, and they'll mark off your bib. So I might make a very nice suggestion for next year about that. I don't think anybody would have a problem with that. Had a good time, and okay, we were out of there by probably 10:30. Started at 9, even with the raffle giveaways. Had a couple people speak briefly. It was a lot of fun. I'll take a walk break. I'm running way too fast. Alright, screw the walk break. I'm only doing 4 miles. I should be able to handle this. And the whole point is to cut calories, right? Burn up calories. Alright. Go. So there's not really a whole lot to report, really. I didn't write any notes down about what to talk about. It was a beautiful day. Just beautiful. It's the trail. It's on a packed down dirt road trail, no dust. And this packed down dirt road is the service road for the farm. And in the fall, they're harvesting pumpkins. In the spring, they're harvesting strawberries. And that's why it's called the Berry Ashland Berry Farm. And it was a beautiful run because it was through the pumpkin patches and there were still lots of pumpkins out there. And there's also, they do a Halloween event out there in the evenings. So as a result, there's tons of porta-johns because they keep them out there for the guests to do the Halloween events on the, you know, the creepy wagons through the woods. And I mean, it's a farm, but there's also wooded areas where they do all the creepy stuff. And I know my wife went to it 1 year and everything was so scary, she did not even go in the woods. She actually stayed up at the entrance. She kind of gets scared of things like that. But it's just a real nice run through the pumpkin patches, and I wasn't trying to beat anybody, but I was kind of looking around for people I thought were in my age group. And first of all, I think I knew maybe 3 people there. Usually when I go to events, I know several people. And I knew 1 runner, or 2 runners and 2 volunteers, or 3 volunteers. So it was a little unusual for me not to really sit around and chew the fat with anybody for the race. Because normally I know several people. I know that sounds a little arrogant, but you know, this is a local race. So it was a nice run through the pumpkin patch, rolling hills, mile and a half out, loops around, you retrace about 200 yards of the course, and then it splits out. So the whole course is pretty much independent of, it doesn't really have any, you don't really retrace too much. And I really liked it, and I'll probably do that again. Race used to be in an industrial area, which was boring. So this is a little nicer, but it's not a PR course because of the hills. I guess the last thing I'm going to talk about, unless I have any light bulbs go off in my head, is the North Face Endurance Challenge that's coming up for my friend Rodney. It's a 50-miler in Atlanta, technically outside Atlanta at Pine Mountain, which is, I guess, where FDR used to vacation back in his day, is what we've read on the website. I'm going to crew for Rodney. Tom is going to be one of his pacers. That's Tom Grant, the same guy I ran the Pumpkin Run with. And we had our planning meeting last night, and this race is about a week and a half out. Or I think it's October 16th or 17th, whatever that Saturday is. So we're headed down, and that's going to be a huge trip. As you may recall, and Rodney, I know you listen to the podcast, so sorry to beat a dead horse here, but Rodney was a DNF at the North Face 50-miler in D.C. He just had some issues that day that couldn't be resolved, and I think he's already surpassed the mileage he did that day. He did a 30-mile training run a little while back. Can you hear that train? Down on this trail, I feel like I'm out in the wilderness. But at the same time, it's not too far from railroad tracks. That's an Amtrak train, in case you're wondering. So we're headed to Atlanta, and this is a pretty big audacious goal. You might have heard that before over on Dirt Dogs podcast. For Ronnie, 50 miles, 14-hour cutoff. Mostly it's 99% single track. It's called the Pine Mountain Loop. And I looked at the elevation chart, a little bit brutal. Ronnie says he's ready. Like I said, we had our planning meeting last night. Tom's gonna pick him up around the 28-mile mark and bring him in, and all I have to do is have everything ready for Rodney at the 28-mile mark. Unfortunately, with the setup of the race, I guess, and the accessibility of vehicles for parking, all right, step back, come on. The 28-mile mark, which is called the Tower 8 station, is the only it's the only place where crew can access the runner. It's very disappointing. However, I'm sure it's all been planned out, and this is the race he chose, and I want to be there at the finish. So it's got a 5 a.m. start, 7 p.m. cutoff. That's 14 hours, and I don't know where, you know, different people who listen to the show live in different places, but in the Eastern time zone, at 7 p.m. at night, it is dark. So I hope he finishes inside of that. And I'm pretty sure he'll finish this time because he's been there before. And I'm sure he is, hey, come on, get out of there. He has gone over and over and over in his head what went wrong, what to improve, you know, where his brain needs to go for a successful finish. And I'm sure there are some ultra runners that listen to the show. And I've got some experience in ultra running. I've done 1, 2, 3, 4 ultras. You have to have a very nice place for your brain to go and sit for a while when you're running an ultra. It can't be in a, your brain can't sit in a tense place. It has to sit in a relaxed place. So you have to go to a soothing place in your brain. And you can't be tense. Otherwise, you're going to drive yourself crazy. And of course you go through phases where you're having fun, you're not having fun, you're having fun, you're not having fun. All right, finish line. Where's the finish line? Every step is one step closer. And sometimes before you know it, 6 hours have passed. I mean, it's running all day. So last night we met at my house. Rodney had all the printouts from the website. And we were looking things over, drinking a couple cold ones. And Rodney seems to have thought things out pretty good. And I just suggested that he make a list of stuff that he wants in his drop bag that he's going to want me to have for him at the 28-mile mark. And I think they're allowing drop bags at different aid stations, but the crew can't have them. Come on, let's go back. So, I don't know if he's going to want to change his shoes, change socks, or whatever. But I really just get one chance to give him aid. So I want him to make sure he has everything in a bag. And he knows what to do. We just needed to talk about it. And Tom's fitness is at a level where he can run the last 22 miles. And I think at that point, it's going to be a lot of walking and running anyway. But I don't know. I don't know what Rodney's strategy is. He's not a walker. So what he might do is probably run as far as he can for as long as he can. And then take, you know, like take a 15-minute walk break and then run for a while again. I don't know what he's going to do. That's up to him. One thing I have learned is not to apply my principles, running principles, into someone else's head. Meaning, you know, hey, think about this. All I suggested to him was some stuff that he might want to have in his bag. And he did. He's actually writing down the things that I suggested. So the rest is up to him. And then after the race, if you can believe this, we'll get him squared away. And then me and Tom are... All right, I think I see some people up ahead. Blue, come on. Come on. We're going to go out the other way. Come here. Come on. Hey, no, 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 no. Come here. I got stuck. All right. I'm going to go out the back end here. I'm debating whether I should pick up my daughter and walk her home. Pick her up in the car. I told her to be ready by 5, so I haven't decided yet. Maybe I'll just pick her up in the car because we got to head out to the store. Okay. So, I don't know. I think Rodney's going to be okay. I've lost my train of thought. I hope so much that he makes it. Oh, I know what it is. So, Tom and I are going to tag team the 10 hours or so drive home. We're not going to stay that night. We'll just drive throughout the night. I should have plenty of rest, being that I'm going to be waiting all day, or pretty much all morning, to see my runner at 28 miles, and then drop off Tom, and then make my way back to the start finish to pick him up. So I should have time to take a little nap. Plus, I'll be kind of keyed up, I think, when he comes across the finish line. But he's just going to kind of sleep, or, you know, rest. He'll probably be pumped for a little bit, and then Tom and I will make our way back to Ashland, and I'll sleep on Sunday, get up in time to watch some football. And I actually took the next day off, so I had a trade-off day for work. I got a 4-day weekend coming up, which will be real nice. So that's pretty much what's coming up. Pretty excited. I got a camping trip combined with canoeing on the James River. Then I've got a big trip to Atlanta. Got a big couple weeks. And pretty excited about all that. So my life is definitely not boring. And it's kind of funny because before I started the podcast today, I wasn't really sure what I was going to talk about. And now it looks like I've got a good 20 plus minutes of material. All right, let's do the email bag. Talk to you on the other side.
All right.
right, let's open up the email bag section of the show. And I got a couple emails for this time around. First one is from Jen. And I think Jen might be out of the Midwest because she has trained for the Chicago Marathon, and which is on October 10th. And I tell you, Jen, it's probably going to be pretty warm up there. A couple years ago, they had some major issues. I think they actually stopped the race. I can't remember what year that was. So make sure you definitely hydrate and carry your own water supply. Anyway, Jen feels like she bit off a little bit more than she could chew. She's raising money. She's on a running team raising money for Special Olympics. And even though she doesn't feel like she's ready to run the marathon, she's only going to be running a couple miles here and there. She's really had a good time training for it, and she's listened to about 10 episodes of the podcast and sent a real nice complimentary email about how much she liked the podcast. So, Jen, I really do appreciate that. And, yes, when you're training for a marathon, it is just like you're having a part-time job. You know, you got to go out there and do those long runs on the weekends, and when you get up to running that 9 and 10 miler in the middle of the week during, for your weekly maintenance runs, that is very time consuming, whether you do it before or after work. I mean, that's a couple hours devoted to running on either side of whenever you're working, and it is you are biting off quite a bit when you train for a marathon. So good luck to you next year if you don't make the whole thing this year, and shoot me an email back, let me know with a brief race report, let me know how things went. And thanks for taking the time to write the email. I really do always appreciate that when people write an email to ashlanddave@gmail.com. Because it's nice to hear from listeners, especially it's nice to hear from people for the first time after and when they say they've listened to several shows. So, Jen, thanks a lot. It was nice to hear from you. I also heard from Rich in the Woodlands, Texas. Rich is an original listener and says he's never missed a podcast, which is pretty cool. He is got it next weekend. He's got his first race for the new season, which is the 10 for Texas 10 miler, and his marathon goal for this year is the Waco Marathon on January 30th. So he'll be training through the winter, and apparently, according to Rich, the Waco Marathon is a small race, and that will be a new experience for him because he usually runs in very large races, and says he's really looking forward to it. And yeah, Rich also said that he's going to be in the Atlanta area the same time I am, although. We'll be at different, obviously in different areas. He looks like he's got a daughter at Emory. I think that's Emory College. So he's going to be, I guess, flying up and then heading on back. And so I probably won't see you, Rich, but that would be pretty cool to meet you someday. And I really do appreciate you sending in the emails as always. And I wish you the best in your 10 for Texas 10 miler. And heard from Dr. Smitty. This was kind of a solicited email. I regret to tell Dr. Smitty I'm not going to be running the Seashore Nature Trail 50K in December. There's just no way I can get my mileage up, and I just didn't have the motivation to start adding and increasing my mileage. Even though I'm up to 6 miles now, I ran 6 miles last weekend. That's kind of my long run right now. I'm just going to kind of incrementally add to that. Then Dr. Smith said he's not even sure if he's going to be doing it this year also. He's just getting his mileage back up. I think he's coming back from an injury. But he's planning to run the HAT 50K, which is at Susquehanna State Park in Maryland. And that's the same weekend as the Shamrock Marathon, if you've ever heard of Shamrock. So who knows, Dr. Smith? I checked out that website, and I can't remember what the HAT stands for. I think it's the guys that came up with that ultra, but... it's an ultra that's claims to be a good ultra for people of all abilities. So that's what it looks like Dr. Smitty is going to be doing. And so, Greg, good to hear from you. Hope you're doing well. And sure we'll be talking soon and crossing paths at some point, I'm sure. And also heard from Adam over at theboringrunner.com. You got to check out this guy's website if you haven't. It's very funny. I've talked about it before. And he's got a little baby on the way in later this year, so his life will change for sure at that point. And I tell you, Adam, it doesn't take too long after you have a child that you kind of forget what it was like before you had one. Kind of like it's kind of like having a dog. Once you get a dog and you're used to having a dog, you don't really know what it's like not to have one. It becomes such a regular part of your life and your routine, and it's a wonderful thing. So I wish you all the best. And hopefully things will work out. And I know my wife was about 2 weeks late, so if your baby comes late, looks like it'll be right around Christmas time. Well, those are the emails for this week. I kind of went through them pretty quick.
And I don't like ending the podcast on a sad note. However, I do have some bad news to pass on. Earlier, a couple weeks ago, a high school friend of mine who became a Virginia State Trooper died in a diving accident. His name was Mark Barrett, and you can look at, there's a website called the Officer Down Memorial page. It's odmp.org, and I'll put a link to it at ashlanddave.podbean.com. And that just, it has a, it's a memorial for all fallen police officers. Anyway, Trooper Barrett was a master scuba diver, and he was on the search and recovery team for the Virginia State Police, and he had a major medical issue during a training dive a couple weeks ago, and ended up dying. Of course, we went to his funeral and all that, and so it's kind of, it's with a heavy heart that I pass on that news. I'm sure nobody out there knows him, but you can see his memorial page at odmp.org, and I'll, like I said, I'll have a link. And one thing, you know, there's a lot of things people want to do in life. You know, for some people, you know, they want to run a marathon, or the people, they want to do this and that. You should go to a police funeral someday. You don't even have to know the officer to go, but you have an officer that, that dies in your area. That's a pretty remarkable event. Well, that's it for this week. I'll be back next time with a new show, episode 110. And what I'll probably have in that is probably be a report from Rodney's North Face Endurance Challenge. What I think I'm going to do, I think I'm actually going to podcast from the event, and I'll do what I can to get some good audio clips from that. So we'll talk again. This is Ashland Dave, and I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a good week.